Glad you're here today. You glad you came? Yeah, I kind of had to, you know. I got to be here, and so did you. You know, there are some people that wanted to be here today, but they couldn't because of health reasons or whatever. And there are others that should have been here, but they didn't listen to the right voice. We got to learn to listen to the right voice, because that other voice is not going to help you at all. He don't like you. He hates you, as a matter of fact. So we got to start listening to the voice of truth. Even though I may not feel like doing what I know I should do, I have to tell that part of me to shut up and sit down, because the Spirit told me to do this. And you're not going to get in the way. You're going to submit to what the Spirit says. Your mind, your emotion, your will has to come under His mind, emotions, and will. Are you with me? We come under His authority. And it's cool how God's, even He releases the good feelings follow faith, you know. How many know that God is pleasurable? How many know that you can feel love? Don't be afraid of it. Feeling love, right? Feeling joy. Feeling peace. Come on, we're not some kind of robots, right? Emotionless robots. Some people think it's somehow sinful to be joyful in church, you know? Come on. Not here, I hope, but I know it goes on. And man, you go into some places, it's like, I think I'd get more out of the game than, you know, than being there. But where God's presence is, there's joy, there's peace, there's love, there's goodness, there's all the good fruit. So what we want to do is we want to pursue His heart. And we're going to talk about, once again, it's kind of in the same theme of we got to keep the main thing the main thing. We can easily become distracted. We can very easily, even as Pentecostals, become traditionalists. How many know what I'm talking about? We get stuck in patterns and ways of doing things that we are just accustomed to and used to. And sometimes we don't like change, so we try to find a comfortable niche, and we try to settle into that niche. And yet God is He is constantly moving, you know, and we cannot become frozen in a marred state, you know. God will shake things up to wake us up, you know, because He wants to move us deeper into His heart, into His purposes. And if we're just finding ourselves comfortable in complacency, then because, you know, God has such a great plan for your life, He's just not going to let you be comfortable very long there. So I've discovered it's always easier just to say, yes, Father. Yes, Lord, I'll go. I'll do what You say. Are you with me? Because I know what it's like to be a knucklehead and be stubborn and be, you know, and not listen. And I've discovered that His way is better than my way, even though I thought it was better. Now, we'll all agree with that, but sometimes, you know, we're full of our own ways, aren't we? Come on. If I have any time left over, I'll give it to God. That's completely opposite of where our life should be. We should seek first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of heaven above everything else. Seek the kingdom of God above everything else. If we don't get that perspective, if we don't get that right, folks, what are we doing? We're just wasting time. We're actually wasting our lives. Trying to save our lives, we lose it, you know. Jesus said if you try to save your life, you'll what? Lose it. You give your life. Give your life to Him who is life. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that You would open our understanding today. That Holy Spirit, You'll take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us so into our hearts with understanding the truth today. And I bind every attempt of the enemy right now to distract in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15:21, It says, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. In verse 22, it says, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. In Adam all die, in Christ all shall be made alive. So there's a contrast between Adam and Christ, the first man Adam, and Christ, who was the quickening spirit. Now, I want to talk to you. This title of today's message is the super abundant life. Most of us know that scripture. We'll say, yeah, Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, right? We all know that. But the question is, are you experiencing that abundant life? And actually, the word means super abundant. He says, my life is so far superior to what you've experienced in Adam that there's no comparison. And so if we are not experiencing the superabundant life, then we are actually functioning or living in the place, in the realm often of Adam, if you will. Because you're either going to live in life or in death. You're either going to abide in Christ or you're going to be full of yourself. In him was life. John chapter 1, right? And that life was the light of men. So the Christian life is about experiencing God, who is life. And he is super abundant life. He is superior life. And so as believers and followers of Jesus, we should be experiencing superabundant life. We should be experiencing the superior life of Christ. It is a higher life, amen? Because he is the Most High. Many people are looking for methods, I want you to hear this, or techniques to improve their lives. Many Christians are looking for methods and techniques to improve their lives. People are getting involved in all kinds of stuff today that is supposed to be a way that will better your life, that will improve your life. Yoga, exercise, meditation, positive thinking, hypnosis, visualization techniques, good living, good works, chanting, repeating words or mantras, education even, religion, pursuing religion. People are looking for life in all these places. They're trying to discover life in a method or a technique. I want you to hear it. Christians are looking for God in the wrong place. Even Christians. If we are depending on or relying on a method as a means of spiritual maturity or growth, we've completely missed it. If we are depending even on principles, even from the Word, as the means of life or spiritual maturity, we're missing it. Except that we encounter Christ in that Word. You see, all these methods of yoga and meditation and chanting and positive thinking and claiming, naming and claiming and all the stuff that gets tossed around as methods to spirituality is a hoax. It's a lie. It will never do what only Christ can do for you. You've got to get beyond doing things for God, trying to achieve something with God, to the place where you are abiding in God, who is our life. It's all about Him. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Him. It's all about the kingdom. It's about losing my life in His life. It's about me discovering who I am as I look into His face. We are to bear the likeness of Christ. So life is not in things that you do to improve yourself. There are temporary benefits in some of these things that people are involved with. And by the way, yoga is Hinduism. It's worshiping another god. And I don't have time to go online and do some research. Yoga is demonic. Yeah. And there's Christian yoga. Well, we do it for the physical benefits. Do you know that every one of those positions is a position in honor to certain deities, pagan deities, Hindu deities? And a lot of people, they just don't realize it. Well, now you do. Folks, there are so many things that we are involving ourselves with, techniques or methods that are actually a distraction away from the only one who can really help you. You cannot, by your own efforts or techniques or methods, improve anything in your life other than a temporary fix. Jesus didn't come to put band-aids on His people. He came to give us super abundant life. And this life is in Him. Ooh. In Christ the solid rock I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust. And find my glory in the power of the cross. I am died to the world and the things of the world and the methods and the techniques that the world is saying. If you just listen to this tape, if you just do this thing, then your life will be better. Yeah, you may have temporary results from that, but you can go to hell. You can self-help your way into hell because unless you come through Jesus Christ, there is no hope. You can only come one way, and that's through the blood. There's a social gospel that's so popular today, they eliminate the cross in it. Without the cross, you've got a counterfeit. Jesus said it at John 14 and 6, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. There's one way. And it is a narrow way, and there are few that find it. The Scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person. In 1 Corinthians 15:45. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. So as you and I are born in Adam, in our natural being, you know that part of us is going to die. But Christ was the last Adam, amen? He came, and He came as a life-giving spirit. So through Jesus Christ, we enter into life. And life is found only in Him. So whatever we do that's in Christ has been done in life. But when we step out of Christ, we step into Adam. It's death. We're back in death. Are you with me? So it's not a matter of good and bad or good and evil. It's a matter of life and death. What are you going to live in? Are you going to live in life or are you going to live in death? Hear that. Because if you're just into good and evil and doing the good and just denying the bad, your focus is on a method, or if you will, of obeying the letter of the law, which destroys. It kills. It does not give life. Only Christ gives life. When we abide in life, amen, then we are not going to live according to the sin nature, which is in death. And therefore, the evil things that we would do in our flesh nature, we're not doing. Why? Because we love Jesus and we walk in Him. We abide in Him. We understand that it's not of my own ability, but of His ability that He gives me to live a holy life. There are so many folks that are even people that come to church or come to Jesus hoping that somehow, you know, my life is going to get better. It's going to improve at least. Do you know that God is not here just to improve your life? God didn't come to patch up your life or to even improve your life. God says you have to disown your life and take on my life. I am life. In me you will live. In me you will have victory. In me you have deliverance from the sin nature. In me you have victory over sin. Are you hearing it? Not by getting another course, another tape, another CD, another principle. Are you with me? Unless it is in Christ, it is still in death. That is why there are people who can preach a message, even quote scripture, and yet there will be no life in it because it was given in death. Are you hearing me? Unless it is from Christ, from the heart of God, by the Holy Spirit, there is no life in it, folks. And if we're into techniques and methods of self-improvement, people are getting, are allowing people to hypnotize them. You know what? You're not supposed to give your mind to anybody but Christ. You don't know what these people are up to, who they are, really. You see, we're looking for techniques. We're looking for methods to grow spiritually. Spiritual life is in Christ alone. Shift away from the doing to achieve to receiving and abiding. Do you see that? Doing and achieving to receiving and abiding. Like a tree planted by the waters. Planted in Christ. Worshiping God where? In spirit. Spirit and truth. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for your word today. In John 1:2, it says that he, Jesus, the word, was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, John 1:4. And the life was the light of men. Now, you know that under the law, men sought through the strict obedience to the commandments to be right with God. And yet the Bible clearly teaches us in Romans 3 and verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What was the purpose of the law? It was to reveal the fact that we are helplessly fallen. Are you with me? There is no life to save in the letter of the law. And so when Jesus Christ came to this earth, you were seeing the law. Are you with me? You're seeing the Word that became flesh and life manifested. And are you with me? And he says, I am life. I am the way. I am the Word. It's not on tablets of stone, but it'll be written on your heart by my Spirit. That you'll receive by faith. And when you begin by faith in the Spirit, then you must continue to walk by faith in the Spirit. Amen. And don't turn again to techniques or methods or even the law as a means of justification. Are you with me? Otherwise, we go down our checklist and we say, well, I've done pretty good today. I did this right. Oh, I missed that one. I did that right. And the one that you missed, guess what? You condemn yourself over. The problem is that you're focusing on totally the wrong thing. You don't focus on the law. You focus on Christ. When we look into the Word of God, when we study, and we should read, and we should memorize Scripture, but the whole purpose is that through that which is written, we may come to know personally He who is alive forevermore. That we may know the living God. Then as long as we're trusting in some method, are you with me? There's nothing wrong with programs, but the program has to be, everything has to be done in Christ. If you don't encounter Christ, then you've totally missed it, because what God wants to do is He wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants us to know Him. For this is eternal life. Yeah. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to be acquainted with Him. The Scripture also tells us in Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. You know, when Jesus showed up on the scene, they had been in spiritual drought for hundreds and hundreds of years. There had been no revelation. They were starving. And they were listening to the law and the prophets being read by men who did not have Christ, did not have the Spirit. And they did the best they could to try to live in accordance to what God said was right. And the law is good and the law is holy. It is right. But we are not able to live up to its standards, to perfection. So the law again condemned us because we became aware of our sinfulness and our need of God's mercy now. And once we come and we receive the love of God, the mercy of God, our hearts burn with passion and love for Him, and we want to live for Him. We are born of His Spirit. If you're born of His Spirit, you will desire Him. You want to serve Him. You want to do what's right. Why? Because He puts that law in your hearts by His Spirit. It's there. Are you with me? Jesus, the Word, became flesh. Jesus told the religious teachers of His day in John 5:38, He says, "But you do not have His Word abiding in you." Now, I want you to hear this, folks. He told the teachers of the law who had memorized like the first five books of the Scripture. They had memorized tons of Scripture, all right? These guys knew the Word. And Jesus tells them, you don't have, what, the Word abiding in you. Now, can you imagine? They were probably scratching their head. And what do you mean we don't have the Word abiding in us? Because, He said, whom God sent Him, you do not believe. You search the Scriptures, verse 39. For in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Everything that had been written, everything old and new, it's all pointing us to one. Amen? To Christ. That we might have life. God doesn't make it difficult for us, folks. He came that we might have superabundant life. A superior quality of life. And it's not ever going to come because we have involved ourselves with methods or techniques of spirituality, of improving ourselves. You can improve yourself, but all you're doing is putting a band-aid, amen, on something that needs to be scrapped altogether. If Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him disown himself, take up his cross and follow me. If you try to save your life, you will lose it. What he's saying? He's not saying, I'm taking away your fun. I'm taking away your pleasure. I'm taking away your life. And I'm going to make you miserable as you follow me and you bear this heavy cross. No, he's saying, I came that you might have superabundant life. But as long as you are trying to save yourself through your techniques, through your methods, through just self-help, you're not going to experience me who am your life. I am your life. Mm-hmm. This is making sense. It's like this thing that's right there. You ever drop something in the grass? Like maybe you're out building something and you drop a screw or something that's in the grass and you're thumbing through the grass, you know? And so you end up going all over the place like this and all of a sudden you look down and it's right there in front of you. You know, sometimes it's like that. God has set something right in front of us, but we're looking in all the wrong places. When it's sometimes it's so obvious that we miss it. Why? Because we're used to making things difficult. Because the way of the transgressor is difficult. Our own will, our own way is a difficult way. It's not a good way. It's not a blessed way. We only think it is. You know, you and I could have this example of quoting Abraham Lincoln or George Washington or any of our, you know, these great historical figures. We can read all about their life. You know, we can study their history and we could quote things that they've said, things we could talk about, things they've done based upon our knowledge of these people. But there's something that we cannot experience with these people, and that is to know them personally, to be acquainted with them. Why? Because they're not here. They're not alive. Amen. Hopefully they're in heaven with Jesus, right? But do you understand that the same thing is true sometimes as believers, or at least people that are inquiring to know about Christ? They're ever learning, they're studying, they're trying through methodologies to somehow attain or achieve God or a certain level of spirituality. And yet, it's not about what we can do. It's not about what we can achieve. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But it's by grace. It's about God being gracious and saying, here, I'm giving it to you. I paid for it with my blood. You don't have to pay for it. Now you can enjoy what I purchased for you. You can enjoy the riches of my kingdom, because it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And as long as you're stuck in methodologies, you know, you're not going to see the substance, which is Christ. Is this making sense? Come on, we can go down, you know, the list of things that, well, if you just do this, this will be the result. If you do that, that's going to be the result. And you know what? In the natural, there are certain principles, there are things that we should apply in our lives. Amen? Because they make sense. And they're good. If you want to take care of your body right, you got to eat right. Right? You got to eat right. You got to exercise. There's certain principles you got to apply to your life. But I'm talking about the most important part of you, and that is your spirit. And that is the most important part that we need to be focusing on, is our spirit man, our spirit life. And only Christ is able to develop you there. You can stimulate your intellect, even through Bible study and through reading and through listening to messages. But what if you haven't had the encounter with Christ? It's still in Adam. Are you with me? So you're going to be either in Adam or in Christ. And so abundant or superabundant life is always as we are abiding in Christ. The good news about learning about Jesus, studying about his life, is that through the knowledge of him, we can get to know him. So we do study, we do learn about him. For what reason? So we can win a debate. So we can wow people with our knowledge? So we can quote scriptures up and down? You know, no. We want to know him. So if your theology doesn't lead to an encounter with God, then what was it for? You said you're searching the scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life, but they're speaking of me, and you don't come to me unless you know, that you might have life. And see, it was the simple people, most of the simple folks, and even the children that very readily were accepting Jesus, they got it. They understood. He just loves me, and he wants me to be with him. And I get to be with Jesus. I get to come to him anytime I want. I get to have a relationship with Jesus. He made it possible through his blood. It's not a difficult thing. It's a relationship that has to be developed and cultivated. It's no different than any of us here. When we develop our relationships, you got to hang out together. You got to spend time. You got to talk to one another. You got to receive, amen, from one another. It's in life. Paul's highest goal in life was to know Christ personally. In Philippians 3:8, he said, "I have indeed count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish," listen, "that I may gain Christ." He's saying, all my achievements, all my kudos, you know, all my certificates of achievement, all my medals, all my educational degrees, everything else, all the accolades of men, all that people had given me in recognition, he says, it's all rubbish in comparison to knowing him. Oh. That's my goal, is that I may know him. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Again, through what he thought, you know, you could do through trying to obey the law. But that which is brought through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. There it is. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. In John 17:3, Jesus said, this is the eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You know, when Jesus went into Capernaum, on the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue in Mark 1:21. And in verse 22, it says they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Why do you suppose Jesus had authority? He was the Word. So when the Word spoke, how many know he spoke with authority, right? But they weren't used to that. They were used again to the dead letter that they were hearing from men who did not know him. Okay. And that word is exousia. It's the same word you see in John 1:12. To as many as received them, to him, to them he gave the exousia, or the authority, to become the sons of God. That's you and I. He gives us the same authority in by the Spirit, amen, to represent him. And so when God speaks to you through the written word, you need to encounter his presence. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you're reading the word, and it's just kind of like, man, ain't nothing happening here. Well, keep on reading. Keep on going. Spend some time. Relax a little bit. Just spend some time. Because the Spirit is going to direct you as you read. And you're going to begin to read of something, and all of a sudden the words will leap off the page. Pay attention, because God is speaking to you. What's happening? You're touching Jesus, and he's touching you. You are experiencing or encountering life. Folks, when we worship up here, we are not always spot on. We're frail humans like everybody else. But our goal, our desire is to touch the Lord. When we make that connection, you know, it just, well, something happens, it's released. Amen. As you are with us in this too, and we worship together, when you encounter the Lord, life is the result. He is a life-giving spirit, or a quickening spirit. When you encounter Jesus Christ, you experience a super abundant life. How many know what I'm talking about? So the message today is to try to shift us away from methodologies and techniques of spirituality to simply abiding in him through relationship, by worshiping God in the Spirit, by worshiping God in the truth. He is the Word, and therefore you can't separate Jesus from the Word. Well, I think another thing that we struggle with is mixing grace with law. When we do that, we confuse grace. You're either going to, again, live in life, which is grace, or you're going to live in death, which is law, under Adam. So God is not giving us Christ and methods. He's not giving us Christ and religion. He's not giving us Christ and formulas, Christ and techniques. And again, it's not even a matter of knowing what is good and evil. It's about life in Christ. How many realize that it was the knowledge of the good and evil, right, where the problem came in? Man was an innocence, and he didn't have access to those things. And so the answer, folks, is not me trying to live good enough to please God. The answer is me coming into God, abiding in Christ, where there is righteousness, where there is holiness, where there is provision, where there is protection, where there is peace and joy and love and good fruits, where there is superabundant life in Christ and not in living according to the rule of the law. When you're in Christ, you will have His heart. You will know His mind and His will and His heart. As you abide in Him, you will know when you're stepping out of line. Come on. You don't want to ignore the still small voice of the Lord, right? It's telling you a different story. Your mind, your will, and emotions may tell you to do one thing, but the Spirit may be warning you not to do that. You've got to listen to Him. So we're either going to abide in Christ or in death. Whatever is not in Christ is in Adam. So methods, folks, to grow spiritually are empty if Christ is not in it. I'm going to look at one more, okay? The woman with the issue of blood. Now, we usually use this when we're talking about healing. But I want us to take a look at this in light of today's message. Certainly, this woman was healed, but it says a woman in Luke chapter 8, verse 43, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. What does that mean? She was trying all the methods and all the techniques that the world had to offer. Nothing was working for her. You ever been in a place like that? God allows you just to kind of spend yourself until there's nothing left. Now what do I do? Okay. Remember me, the Lord says? In verse 44, she came from behind and touched Jesus, right? Touched the border of His garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, verse 45, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, because they probably thought, "Well, we're in trouble. We touched Jesus." Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you. And you say, 'Who touched me?'" Do you get this? Jesus is walking through the crowds. He's, you know, it's like the Pope where everybody's trying to touch the Pope. Jesus is walking and everybody's just pressing in on Jesus, trying to get to touch Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops and says, "Who touched me?" We got to get this. Because when you touch Jesus, you touch life. Because He said, "I perceive that virtue or power has gone out of me." This woman's faith, amen, drew that miracle out of Jesus. Whenever you touch Christ through the Word and through worship and through singing and through acts of service, whenever we touch Him, we touch life. We encounter life. So the key is to touch Jesus. Are you with me? We're not here to do a sing-along and just join into the old gang and sing together. No, we're here for an encounter with God. Yes. I want to touch Jesus with my praise and my worship. I want to touch His heart. Because when I touch Jesus, there's a release of His virtue into me. And I live in Him. He's my life. I've got to get over myself. I've got to get beyond myself. I've got to forget about me. I want Jesus. She didn't care. She was putting her life on the line. With an issue of blood in that culture, they were to be separated. She could not be in public like that. And she didn't care because she said, "If I could just touch Jesus, I can be healed." And Jesus took note. He stopped and said, "Who touched me?" All the people are thronging Jesus, but she's the one that made the connection. Wow. This is what I feel about my own life, folks, and I know it's true of you too, is that we want to know Him. We want to encounter Him. Amen. We don't want to just learn about Him. We want to know Him. And He is a life-giving Spirit. And whenever we touch His heart, life is released. Whenever we pray, there's times when we connect in prayer. Are you with me? There's sometimes your prayers are dry as dust. But as you're praying, the Spirit will direct you. And as He directs you and you pray in accordance with the will of the Father, you connect with life. You connect with Christ. And those prayers will be heard and they'll be answered. "Now I lay me down to sleep." I'm not talking about that. Amen? We're talking about pursuing God, pursuing His heart, touching Jesus. Whenever we sing and touch the Lord, His presence is released. Even when you're listening to the Scriptures or you're listening to the Word. How many felt that God's touched you already today? Is not God touching us through this message today? I know it because He's touching me too. And so we navigate. Ray Kirkland came and he was talking about our worship team. And how we even got a little picture of that. It's a kayak. And he put, somebody did it, Jan, she put Heysook and I in the kayak. And going down these rapids, you know. He says, you guys, it's just the way we are here. We're a little different. He said, but you guys are like, you're navigating. You're looking for those ripples. You're looking for, where's God at in this? We're looking to touch Jesus, folks. Why? Because it's good for all of us to touch Him. When we touch Him, we touch life. Methods don't produce life. That's why people, they start out, you know, with just relying on some plan or some method, and they only do good for so long. Why? Because they're in the driver's seat. But unless that method is pointing them to the only one that can help them, unless they're encountering the living God, how many know it's not going to help for very long? You may even have some improvement for a while. You might get your life in order. There might be some habits or some things that you're able to overcome and get victory over. And you might even get proud of yourself because you're doing such a good job. But if it's you, it's not going to last. Or even if it does last, you can move, you can live your life and have, by all appearances, a life that is together, that is holy, that is pure, and be void of life. Who is Christ? I mean, you can go into some churches all across America today, you know, and man, it's like walking into a funeral hall. There's no life there. Because they're stuck in religion, a method. And this is my passion because it's God's heart for us, folks. It's always been about a relationship. Always been about walking with Him. And God wants to release His kingdom through us. He wants to manifest Himself through you and me. You know what? Christ in you is the hope of glory. But Christ through you is the hope for the nations. Get it? It's not enough to have Christ in me. It's Christ through me to touch others. Amen? The deep of you needs to cry out to the deep of God. You need to commune. You need to touch God. You need to touch His heart. When you're praying in accordance with the will of God, there'll be a quickening in your spirit. There'll be life. When you're singing in accordance with the will of God, there'll be life. Amen. When we're serving in accordance with the will of God, there'll be life. That's why people serve, because they say, man, it feels so good to love and to serve others. Why? Because you're touching Him. You're touching His heart. So you know you're in life. Oh yeah, there'll be good feelings to follow too. It's okay. God made us that way. 1 John, I'm going to close with this scripture. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then he finishes with this in 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourself from idols. Do you hear it? Do you see? It's idolatry, folks, to rely on anything except Him. Oh, I need Jesus and... No, you just need Him. Because out of Him, everything will flow. Amen? Everything you have need of, He'll take care of if you seek Him. Seek His kingdom above everything else. And you're not going to be all stressed out in life.